trust test. The trust test. The ultimate trust test. And so today I want to challenge you to begin to focus on the glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. And that is, can God trust you with his glory? Can God trust you with his glory? You see, our time, our talents, and our treasures, they've only been given to us to bring glory to God. But it's a trust test, as we have heard the readings today from the wisest man, according to the scriptures, the wisest man to ever live. According to the scriptures, one of the wealthiest men to ever live. This brother here tells us some very important things about the glory of God. See, you've been created for God's glory, and everything that you have is part of God's glory. But the question today is a trust test. It's a trust test. How can God trust you with his glory? Look to your neighbor to your left and to your right, and just simply ask them today, can God trust you with his glory? Can God trust you with his glory? Now, we know about God's glory. God's glory is to bring glory not to you, but to him. The tragedy today is that so many of us, we use our time, our talents, and our treasures to bring glory unto ourselves. And that's not why it has been given to you. We've been looking for this past month. We've been looking at stewardship and how critical it is for the people of God to understand that everything you have, contrary to what you've been reading, contrary to what you may have heard from others, everything belonged to God. This is why when you die, you can't take anything with you. The best thing you can do about your death is make preparations before the death. In fact, if you don't make preparations for your death, when the time comes, they may very well give you the cheapest funeral that they can manage to come up with. Why? Because after you're dead, it's over. You can't come back and hunt them down like some people think. It's nothing you can do. So if you don't make preparations now, you may very well get a little $1,500 funeral, and everything that you have left, others will enjoy it. Why? Because, yes, yours is yours while you were here. But the tragedy is that you can't really take it with you. You can't really take it with you. But when you peel it all back, it was just something that had been loaned to you for a period of time. And so what God does is that God gives us these trust tests. These trust tests. As I was sharing with the those in Bible study on Tuesday night, I said, you know, it's nothing for God to make all of us millionaires. The problem is he can't trust you. Now you say, well, you know, it'd be nice to have, you know, a couple of $100,000 in the bank. How many of you like to have a couple of $100,000 in the bank? Amen, amen, amen. Nobody. How many of you got a couple of $100,000 in the bank? So, see, you know, you can have it, but if you got it, can he trust you with it? And so God has made us stewards of everything that we have. Everything we have, he made us stewards of our time. He made us stewards of our talents, and he made us stewards of our treasures. Someone said, what is treasures, Pastor? What is treasures? Those are the Benjamins. Those are your earthly possessions. But God is the owner, and we are the manager. God is the owner, and we are the manager. I was having lunch yesterday with a pastor friend of mine, and he was doing an illustration, and he took a dollar bill, and he began to tear it in front of me. And he says, Pastor, watch how me tearing this make you feel. And you know, and if I had a $100 bill and I just tore it here, some of you would like cringe. Does he understand that that is money? But he then laid it down on the table and he says, look at it here. He says, look at the readings that they put up on. Look what really stands out. He says, in God we trust. So even the founding fathers, be it that they had some issues, but even the founding fathers at least got one thing right, and that's the piece of trusting God. But can God trust me with the resources he has given me? That's the question that we need to answer this morning. Can he really trust us? Can we really trust God? You see, that's what it really boils down to. It boils down to, can we really trust God? When your back is against the wall, can you really trust God? Can you trust God with your future? Can you trust God with your family? Can you trust God with your job, with your health, and with the various things that you possess? You see, it's a trust test. It's a trust test. And every day we have an opportunity to pass that test. You pass the test when you prove to God that what he's given you, that if he speak to your heart and say, you got that talent, I want you to use your talent over there. You got some extra time, I want you to use your time in the church. You got some treasures, I want you to invest your treasures in the church. And so the question is, when God speaks to you about what to do with our time, our talents, and our treasures, you pass the test when you follow through with what God says. Now the wisest man to ever live, he tells us that when we trust God with all of our heart, he says that, and when we acknowledge him, that he will make the things that are crooked in our life, he will make the things that are out of whack in our life, he tells us that he will make your pathway straight. You know, I think every one of us come to a place where we have to cross the line, or either we have to say, yes, I'm going to trust him, or no. We all get to a point in life where it's like, I'm going to trust God come what may, or I don't trust him. We all get to that point. But stewardship begins with loving, not in giving. It begins with loving and not giving. You need to write that down. It begins with loving and not giving. It does not begin with giving. Because see, the Bible says where your heart is where your treasures is. The whole basis of the trust test is, do you really love him? Do you really love him? The scripture also says that God loves a cheerful giver. It's foundation is based on your love relationship. Now, how do we take this trust test? It's very simple, but the question is, can we pass it? Now, I've taken a lot of tests in my lifetime, and unfortunately, I can't report today that I passed all of them. But if you don't take the test, you'll never know how well you'll do. And this is why in Malachi, one of the latter books of the Old Testament, we've been told to test God. God wants you. God flips the switch when it comes down to your treasures. And he says, okay, now I want you to test me. In fact, that is the only area in scripture. That is the only area in the Christian life where God allows us to put him to the test. It's like I said, okay, God, you've been allowing me to be tested all of this time, but now here's a test for you. And God says, now how do you test God? You test God, God tells, we are allowed to test him with our treasures. But we're going to use this this concept here, the concept, we're going to use the concept of trust as an acronym to go through this test. The first part of the test, beginning with the T, is to first take an inventory. Now, you need to write this down because we got a quiz coming up at the end. Take an inventory. T, take an inventory. We need to ask ourselves the bottom line question. This inventory is very easy. The bottom line question is, do we really trust God? It's that simple. Do we really trust God? The writer of Proverbs says that all trust starts with a personal inventory. We need to take responsibilities for doing our part. What happens when I do my part? When we do our part, then God does his part. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a paradigm shift as it relates to trust, as it relates to faith. The original Israelites, they walked by sight and not by faith. But there was a paradigm shift, and the second generation of Israelites under the leadership of Joshua, they were told to walk by faith and not by sight. What they had to do what God told them to do first, and then they got the results. So this whole trust thing is to trust God. Trust and do what thus saith God, and then you'll see the results. So we have to do our part and then allow God to do his part. Did you know that trust is the single most important factor in any kind of relationship? Why is it that, you know, when we're dating someone or we're married to someone, we know that trust thing is a serious thing. And when you get the trust thing in a relationship twisted all up, you got problems in that relationship. Now, we all agree with that. Why is it when it comes down to God, we get that all twisted up? We get it all twisted up and we think something different. But the whole basis of any kind of relationship rests in trust. Rest in trust. If you're in a relationship and there is no trust, you got a problem. My brother, my sister, look to your neighbor, to your left and to your right. If you're in a relationship and there is no trust, you got a problem on your hands. And today, people of God, God got a problem on his hands with most of us. He got a problem on his hands with most of us. Because if God spoke to us today and told us to do a particular thing, the tragedy is that we won't do it. Why? Because we don't trust him. We don't trust him. The scripture says that if we can trust him with a little, if he can trust us with a little, he certainly can trust us with a lot. And we look at the aura in trust. It's to recognize God as your source. Recognize God as your source. Scratch out the person that signs your paycheck. God is your source. When everything gets peeled back, it's all about God. When this country is under attack, regardless how people review faith in God and everything else, they all begin to pray. They all begin to look at God. When schools don't want prayer in it, but when tragedies occur in schools, they invite the clergy in the schools to do what? To pray. So you see, we have to recognize God as your source. No one else. Get rid of the boss, man. Get rid of the president. Get rid of all of these other people. God is your source. You see, a tragedy occurred when President Obama made it to the White House, that many of you decided you weren't going to trust God anymore. Because now there's a man in the White House that looked just like us. And you put all of your faith, your hope, and your trust in him. And this man, his first term, did everything he could do. But he did not meet the expectations of this country. Why? Because the main source is God. The main source is God. That even he called in the clergy. I have a picture of him. I have a picture of him in a meeting with hundreds of clergies stretching out their hand, praying over him, because he recognized that after he'd done everything that he could do in the first term, it still would not meet the expectations of the world, of this country, that there is still unemployment, there are still foreclosures on every front. Why? Because the main source was not Obama. As much as we love him, he ain't the main source. It is God. So recognize God as your source. We need to take an inventory of our lives. That everything that you and I have right now is a gift from God. It is part of the glory of God. You know what created a problem in heaven between God and Lucifer? Is that Lucifer wanted God's glory. He wanted glory for himself. So when you fail to give God glory, you have now allowed yourself to be placed in the same category as Lucifer himself. So you see, this trust test, it's a very serious thing. The day you decided to give your life to him, the day you decided to become a spiritual being in him, allowed you, you went into a trust system where your trust in God is important. So God gives us part of God's glory is your talents. As we looked at talents this month, we know that many of us here, we have abilities that no teacher on planet Earth can say, I gave it to her. I gave it to him. No, where did it come from? It came from God. Some of you here, you can naturally sing. Some of you here, you can naturally play instrument. Some of you here, you can naturally write very well. Some of you here, you can naturally speak very well. Some of you here, you can naturally pray and intercede very well. You can naturally do all types of things very well. Where did it come from if a teacher on this earth can't raise their hand and say they gave it to you? Where did it come from, people of God? He said, well, in my family, we got some powerful genes. And in my family, we got writers and educators and everything else. But I still want you to look at the fact that everything has its final source in God. He's the ultimate source. He's the source where it starts, and he has a source where it ends. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. I'll read it. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. So God is the one that gives you the ability to do everything you are able to do. And he does it because God wants to display, God wants to show off his glory. His glory, his glory. You see, a woman's beauty is a husband's glory. And glory is designed to not be locked up, but glory is designed to be put on display and to be shown so others can appreciate it and bring honor and glory to it. So when we use our talent, our skills, and our abilities and people marvel at it, we need to be very quick to tell them it's only by the grace of God. That God has given this grace to me. As I was going through the Word of God, this week, I realized that there are so many places in the Bible that tells us without God, it's impossible. And Matthew 5:36 tells us that we cannot change our hair. We can't change our hair, meaning what's coming out. Add our hair to our head without God being the source. Matthew 6:27 tells us that we cannot add a single moment to our life without God being the source of it. James 4:14 reminds us that we cannot even say with certainty what is going to happen tomorrow without God as the source. I don't care if you're here today. I don't care how powerful you may feel that you are. You don't have a guarantee that you will see tomorrow. Acts 27:20 tells us that we cannot save ourselves from disasters without God being our source. So our source in everything resides in God. God, it's a trust test. Life is loaded with a trust test with your relationship with each other, with your relationship with God. Let's look at the, we looked at the T, we looked at the R. Let's look at the U. U is to understand God's principles. You see, whatever you engage in order to be successful at it, you have to understand God's principles. You have to understand God's principles. I was teaching a class last semester at the university, and I had a student in the class. He was a wise guy. And he decided that he wanted to tell me how he felt I should teach the class. How I should teach the class. And so I broke it down to him. I say, in this class, this is how things are going to work. Either you follow them and it will give you an opportunity to pass. If you violate them or don't follow them, it will clearly be an opportunity for you to fail. And so God's principles are no different. But why is it when we can follow the principles of this world, we can follow principles and rules on jobs and things, but when it comes down to God, it's a different situation completely. Until we understand them, we will always go on a situation of searching, a situation of doubt, fear, and disbelief. Now, there's three reasons why Christians don't give more of their time, their talent, and their treasures. Three main reasons. Probably we could find more, but this is all that I can give to you today. One is they don't think that they can give and make ends meet. This is and again, we're talking about our giving of our treasures. Secondly, they don't know how. Many don't know how to give. It may be just a simple act of not being trained, not being disciple into understanding. And thirdly, they don't plan to give. Now you have to purpose in your heart that the glory that God has made you stewards of, you have a purpose in your heart that you are going to do something with it. If your decision is not to do anything with it, then that's where the problem lies. Now, I got one other scripture to drop into your spirit today, coming from Psalms 24:1. And this is all it says right here. And you do your own interpretation. It says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell in it. Now you thought you belonged to yourself. You thought you were all in control of all of this, but you belong to God. Every one of you here, you are children of God. And if you haven't been told this in a while, I want you to know this morning that God loves every single one of you. That God loves you more than what any woman can say how much they love their man. Or any guy can say how much they love their girl. Or any parent can say how much they love their children. God loves you. God bought you with a price, and he loves you, and God is betting on you that you are going to make it. God is betting on you that you are going to get it right somewhere in this, your lifetime, that you are going to get it right. God has great confidence in you. Why? Well, if he didn't have confidence in you, he would not give you any talents. He would not give you any time. He would not give you any treasures. He is trusting us with his glory. Your time, your talents, your treasures. We've heard it from the wisest man to ever live. He said, God has given it to you. And he wants you to do something with it. Let's look at the S. The S is surrender everything to God. Surrender everything to God. It's just like in the, when you look at these war games going on, these wars on television, and you see someone waving their white flag and they are simply saying, I surrender, capture me. I surrender, capture me. Take me into your control. I surrender, capture me. And what the Holy Spirit of God wants us to do is surrender our very selves unto him. Surrender our very selves unto him. You see, the moment that we understand the principle that God has for us, then it's just an act. It's just simply an act of surrender, of turning yourself in. It's just like your name is listed and your picture is on a wanted list. And everybody is looking for you. And you decide that you're going to make everybody's job easy and surrender yourself. And so part of the trust test is to surrender yourself to God. Say, Lord God, here I am. I surrender my family. I surrender my time, my talents, and my I surrender everything unto you. So we see that surrender. Then we look at the last part of this trust test is that we look to test. The T is to test God's promises. To test God's promises. You know, I remember back in the days, gentlemen here, do we have any single men in the house? Just raise your hand. Come on, single men, single men, single men. Single man. Don't worry, I'm not going to have you marry one of these single sisters here. Not today. Back in my era, there was a ring that came about. It was called a promise ring. In fact, I don't even know, do they even make them anymore? I don't even know if they even make them anymore. But when a guy put a promise ring on someone that he's really digging and really interested in, he's saying to her that from this point forward, that I want to establish a special trust in this relationship with hope that it would develop into something greater than that. What God likes for us to trust in him. And so the day we gave our life to him, that he made a promise to us. So we need to look at God's word and test his promises, because in that testing that God proves himself over and over again. So when the guy puts a promise ring on a young lady's finger, he proves himself to a point that when it's finally time to raise the most important question, will you marry me? Then she's not like I got to check with my girlfriends. I got to check with my family. I got to check with others. But if she see that the trust lines up with the promise, then she's quickly to say, I'll marry you. So gentlemen, if you've not heard about the promise ring before, I'm looking forward to marrying some of you this year. So you can utilize that. So this promise is a serious thing. But the absence of a promise, we have nothing. But the Bible says to us that his answer to all of the promises that he will make and has made to us, what is the answer? Yes and amen. That's God, the answer to God's promises. And so what we fail to do, we fail to take the promises of God and stand on them and rest on them, stand on them and rest on them. We had a drummer that was here so many years ago, and he keeps creeping up in my sermons. Name was Mark. And I don't know how many remember Mark, our drummer, one of our first drummers. Mark said continuously that God promised me a son, continuously. Now, Mark's situation did not look good. Mark had a wife that was on the verge of leaving him. He had a wife that said, I'm not having no more children. You want a son, but I'm not having no more children. I got two, that's it. And then Mark was divorced. But Mark continued to say, God promised me a son. Now, I never questioned him to say, how do you know it was God? But he said it with such great confidence. I am pleased to report that Mark has a son right now, and his son is 2 years old. So God has promises for every one of us here. But his promises are in the Word of God. His promises rest in the Word of God. But when we allow God to come through with the promises that he make to us, what that does is that our faith begins to build. Our faith begins to grow. Did you know that every great Bible character had to go through the trust test? Now, if all of God's great patriots had to go through a trust test, and I've already told you that you are great in God. Maybe you think you, and maybe you've been called a sorry rascal, or maybe you've been behaving like a sorry rascal, but God still wants to use your life. That there are still great things in you. In fact, there are greater things in you than you can ever imagine. The Bible says, greater is he that is within you than he that is within this world. You see, if we were able to advance history 20, 30 years from now, can you imagine where some of you will be? God has great things in each of us, but it's up to us to activate them by showing him that we trust him. When we look at Noah built an ark. Now, while Noah was building the ark, Noah was the joke of the town. That nobody would believe Noah. But Noah continued to say, God told me to build this ark. And so Noah built the ark. But when it was time to go in it, the only ones he could convince to go in was his family. The scripture doesn't say the neighbors followed them, but his family and all of the animals. That's all that followed Noah into that ark. But the test of Noah was that, okay, God told you, now are you going to do it? And we know Noah passed the test. A man named Abraham, he also went through the trust test. God told him that
the son that I've given you, I want him back. Now, that had to be hard. Wait a minute, God, you have given it to me. Now you are taking it back. You've given something to me that I've waited on all these. Now you want to take it back. But we know that as Abraham made his way up to that mountain and his son was next to him, that there were questions in the son's mind, and the son begins to raise these questions to his dad. He says, "Dad, we got all the material. Dad, we got everything to start this fire. Dad, we got it all here, but Dad, we're missing the most important thing." And all Abraham could say to his young son, "The Lord will provide." And when they get up there, the altar, Abraham looks around and the only sacrifice was his son. And so he takes his son. He places him up on the altar. He takes out his dagger. And before he could come down with the dagger, the Lord speaks to him and provides a lamb to be sacrificed. It was a trust test. We look at Joshua, a man that had been under the tutelage of Moses for many years. But finally, his time to step out had arrived. And God comes to Joshua and tells Joshua, "Moses, my son, is dead. It's now time for you to take my children to the promised land." And I truly believe that there was much concern in Joshua's mind, because the Lord continued to tell him, be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Be strong. And I can't help but think that Joshua was feeling a little weak. But Joshua passed the trust test. But what do we see that is common in all these three stories here? The most important thing common in all these three stories is that they pass the trust test. That God made them a steward of their time, their talents, and their treasures. And they pass the trust test. And so regardless what you may be dealing with today, the question in the atmosphere, the question on the floor today is, can God trust you? Can God trust you with the little that you have? Can God trust you with a large amount that you have? Can God trust you? Again, we're talking about him trusting you with his glory. Your talents is the glory of God. Your talents were there, been put there to bring honor and glory to God. First, it brings God honor and glory to God first, and then it gives you the ability to create wealth and prosperity for yourself. But the first thing it gives you the ability to bring honor and glory. Your time gives you the ability to bring honor and glory to God. We've looked at that. We've learned, as we've been looking at this whole series of stewardship, we learned that how many seconds God gives us each day? 86,400 seconds in every day. God gives it to you. Many of you woke up this morning, you thought you didn't have anything in your bank account. But God has already given you 86,400 seconds today. And if you got time, you can do a lot with time. Without time, there's nothing you can do. The Bible says that the time will come when time shall be no more, people of God. But can God trust you? You see, it's a trust test. It's a trust. He's given things to you, but can he really trust you with it? You know, I truly believe that there is much, much more that God wants to give each one of us. But we got a problem with the trust piece. We often think, well, Lord, if we give this to you financially, we won't have enough to take care of all the other things. If we invest too much time into the church, working and cleaning the church and teaching Sunday school and being involved in bus ministry and all these things, Lord, we're not going to have time for other things. Can he trust you, people of God? It's a trust test. And so we hear from the wisest man to ever live. And he starts off, he says, my son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years. And check this out, and bring you what? Prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. That the basis of your trust, people of God, the basis of your trust in him, it has to find its foundation in love. If you do anything that is not based on love, your motives, your actions are not biblical. Wrong motives. He says, if you do this, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and even man. You know, we're so concerned about man than we are about God. God created man, but we are more concerned about what man says than what God says. And when we get to that point, then we got the whole trust thing all twisted, all messed up. But it says when you get to that point, you will win favor with God. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. See, sometimes our understanding really mess things up. Because you may be in a situation right now where things are just all messed up. But there is no mess that God can't clean up. In fact, God is the single best cleanup guy ever known to all mankind. And God knows how to clean up our mess. Now, I've been in a lot of mess over the years. I don't know about each of you, but God is the best cleanup guy known to mankind. Some of us are in some mess and you have failed to release God in it. But release God in it and let God clean it up. But our understanding of situations oftentimes are wrong. But God loves problems. We call them problems. God call them what? Opportunities. You see, nothing going on in your life right now causes God to shiver. Nothing going on in your life right now causes God's heartbeat to start pumping extra hot. Nothing going on in your life right now causes God's temperature to rise. What is going on in your life right now, it causes God to get excited. You say, Pastor, why is it that God get excited? But here's another opportunity for God to be glorified in your life. See, you can never lose when your faith rest in God. You can't lose. You can't lose regardless how you look at it. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean to your own understanding. He said, all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Now, when the wealthiest person in scripture speaks, you ought to listen. Many years ago, there was an investor. His name was E.F. Hutton. And the slogan was when E.F. Hutton, one of the one of the country's most advanced investors, when E.F. Hutton speaks about a particular stock and he says it's going up, it was said when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen, because he had a track record for recommending some of the greatest investments. Now in scriptures, we hear from our very own E.F. Hutton. Okay, and so our scripture reference, he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's what he said. He said, do not be wise in your own. He said, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruit of all your crops. This is what the wealthiest God tells us. He says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine, people of God. When the wealthiest man in scripture speaks, the spiritual people need to listen and adhere to it. Because he didn't get there by himself, but he got where he is because of the trust that he placed in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People of God, you are under a test every day of your life. You're under a test. God has put his glory in your hands. Everything you have is part of the glory of God. Everything that he's entrusted you with is part of, he's entrusted you with his glory. And it's up to you to be a good steward of it. As our musicians come at this time, it's a trust test. Can God trust you with the little time, talent, and treasures you have? Can God trust you with a lot? Let him have his perfect way in you. Show him how much he can trust you. Show him in every aspect of your life that he can trust you, that you can pass the test. God is waiting on the people of God to make a move for him. Every head bow, your eyes shut. Every head bow, your eyes shut. Every head bow, every eye shut. God has placed in our hands today his glory. Everything that he's given us is to bring glory to him. But what he's asking of us today, and what is part of this great test, is that will we use it to bring honor and glory to him? See, perhaps today your life appears to be put on hold because you have not done what you should do with his glory. That every time you're at a point of taking the test, you fail. You fail. Why you fail? It's because of trust. It's because of trust. People of God today, let us let God know that he can trust you. He can trust you. The basis of the relationship is centered around trust. Let God know today he can trust you. It's up to you today. The altar is open. The time of reckoning is here, people of God. Make a commitment to God today. Simply letting him know, God, you can trust me. You can trust me, Lord God, with the little that I have. You can trust me, Lord God, with what I have. You can trust me with it. It's up to you today. It's up to you. It's up to you. God is everything, everything you can ever imagine. It's a trust test today. The altar is open. You come, you come, you come. Just a note of declaration to God. Saying, God, I trust you. God, I'm not going to play with my relationship with you. I want everybody to know I trust you. Would you be letting know, be made known by simply slipping out of your seat and kneeling at this altar? A trust test, people of God. A trust test. Can he trust you? Can he trust you? God want to do great things and mighty things in your life. But before you can move forward, the trust piece got to be resolved. You can resolve it today. You can resolve it today. You can resolve it today. Would you come? 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 Is there a tear in your eye? Is there a lump in your throat? Would you come, people of God? Would you come? 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 Can God really trust you? That's the question on the floor today. It's a trust test. He wants to do great things in you, but you got to settle the trust. Altar's open. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? We're not going to tarry much longer, but the anointing is here today, grabbing hold to the spirit of the people of God. Sending a message to the people of God. A message of, can he trust you? Can he trust you? And people, we know and understand how important that trust piece is in relationships. Why is it that when it comes to God, it's different? We're going to pray with those who've come. It's almost over. Time is running out. Make your move, make your move, make your move, make your move. You see, life is full of so many defining moments, but oftentimes they only come certain times in a lifetime. But what if it's for you today? This is your moment. This is your time of reckoning. It's here right now. It's here right now. Don't let it slip past you. Don't let it slip past you. Let's just meditate in his presence. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we pray this morning over our dear brother who has come. We pray your continuous blessings on his life, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would do a supernatural work in him as he commit himself to you. Lord God, today we pray over our dear sister who has come. You know her heart, you know her mind, you know her situations better than anyone else. God, today we take her, we dedicate her life to you, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that as she trusts you more and more, that the relationship that she has with you will get stronger and sweeter as the days go by. Lord God, we pray for our dear sister who's come. We thank you for her life, Lord God. We thank you for her commitment. We pray this day, Lord God, that as she makes herself available to you, that, Lord God, you are prepared to do a great work in her life. Give her the desires of her heart. Exceed her expectations. Lord God, we come to you today on behalf of our dear sister. Oh, how we thank you for her, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for her. granting her safety of travel, how she's traveled so far to be with us today. We pray, Lord God, your healing power, Lord God, on her life, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you do a great work in her. We pray, Lord God, as she draw herself closer and closer to you, that she would ever be grateful. Lord God, today we pray of our dear brother. We pray, Lord God, that he's brought himself before you, Lord God, committed himself before you. We simply ask of you today, Lord God, that as he surrendered himself unto you, Lord God, we're asking of you today, Lord God, that you would have your perfect way in his life. Lord God, we pray today over our dear sister, Lord God. We thank you for her presence, Lord God, and we pray your continuous blessings on our life as she's come, surrendering herself to you, Lord God, surrendering the situation and the circumstances in her life. The Holy Spirit of God, today we present her to you, Lord God, asking, Lord God, that you simply do a marvelous work in her life. Bless, keep her. Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, on behalf of our dear sister. We thank you for her, Lord God. We thank you for the commitment, Lord God, that she's making right now, Lord God. We're asking, Lord God, right now, that you do a great work in her life, that you'll watch over her and her family, Lord God, that you'll raise her up, Lord God, to be a mighty woman of God. Give her the desires of her heart. Lord God, today we pray over our dear sister who's come forward. We pray over her, her family, Lord God. We pray, Father, that you would continue to allow her to grow in grace and in knowledge, great understanding. Oh, Lord God, as she surrender herself unto you, oh, Lord God, do a great work in her life. Exceed her expectations. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, today we pray, Lord God, of our dear brother who has come, Lord God. We thank you for him, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, as he surrender himself unto you, Lord God, that you would encourage his heart and his mind and let him know that you're going to do a great work in him. Keep him, Lord God, faithful in you, helping to walk by faith and not by sight. Holy Ghost of God, today have your perfect will in his life. Exceed his expectations. Open shut doors, Lord God. Make a way out of no way, Lord God. Bless our dear brother today. We thank you for him, Lord God. Father, as we continue on in prayer, continue on in prayer, continue on in prayer, continue on in prayer. Just meditate in his presence. Just meditate in his presence. Meditate in his presence. Listen to these words. Listen to the words. Listen to the words. Just meditate on them. Let's give the Spirit of the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a trust test. It's all about a trust test, people of God. Your life is surrounded by a trust test.
how much you trust God. Brother Green, you have these cards. You have these cards. You grab these cards. As we prepare at this time, real quickly, as I inform all of y'all at the beginning of our stewardship month, that we would be challenging the church. Real quickly, Pastor Mike, real quickly, please. Real quickly. We want to challenge the church. As you all know, that our vision for 2013 is that this is the year of spiritual growth and development. Spiritual growth and development, and how we've been challenging you through these sermons to be a good steward of all that God has given you. And what we're asking you to do right now, we're asking specifically to our members, we want each one of you to check a ministry. Check a ministry, or multiple ministries that you want to get involved in, that you want to do a great work in. Because remember, your time, your talents, and your treasures, they really don't belong to you. They belong to God. So we want you to look at the list. Check them if you're, check them. Check the areas that you know you have time, you have talent, and you have treasures that you can do a great work in. Again, want you to get them checked off, and you can deposit them in the basket as it circulates. If not, you can just hand them to us as we are dismissed today. Again, want to thank you all. Want to thank you all for participating in this service today. Want to thank you all for all that you're doing. As we prepare ourselves for this morning tithes and offering, we're asking at this time, as the ushers will come at this time, hallelujah, as the ushers will come at this time, the Bible says, given it shall be given unto us, good measures pressed down, shaken together, and running all over. Again, want to encourage the members of this church. Want to encourage each of you. The scripture tells us that we should bring forth our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse. You say, well, Pastor, what's a tithe? A tithe is 10% of your earnings. And it's a trust test. It's a trust test of your giving. It's a trust test of your time. It's a trust test of your talents. And so this is how we keep the lights on in the church. It's how the mortgage is paid. This is how we take care of the day-to-day activity of the ministry. Again, want to challenge you today. You give of your tithe. You put God to the test. The Bible says that God will open up the windows of heaven, that God will pour out blessings more than what we can bear here on this earth. It's a trust test, people of God. What we want you to do right now, we want you to hold up your offering. We're going to pray a special blessing of prosperity over your life. We want you to hold it up right now real quickly. Take your offering and hold it up right now. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we take, Father, this offering, Lord God, that we're about to deposit it into fertile ground. We're going to take it right now, Lord God, and deposit it right here, Lord God. We pray, Father, that the windows of heaven be open, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that this seed, Lord God, would generate 100, 200, and 300 fold blessings in the life of the giver. That your word says, give and it shall be given unto us. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, and running all over. And Lord God, it further tells us, will a man rob God? A man rob God in his tithes and his offering. Let us pass the trust test today and give faithfully unto God. Amen, amen, and amen. As the ushers circulate the baskets at this time, we'll get a selection from our praise team. Amen. Give them a hand right now. Give them a hand. Come on, encourage them just a little bit. Hallelujah.
Give him a hand one more time. Amen, 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 amen. We're not going to be with you much longer, but do want you to know that immediately after the service, we want to form a prayer circle around the van. I don't know how many of you have noticed the new van is here, is here, is here, is here. And what